Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. With the coming of the season now of Advent, we find a new year in the church. The feasting of this past week gives way to the fasting of the penitential season of Advent, and all of this done for us to prepare for the coming of Jesus. Yes, the coming of Jesus on the last day, as we've been hearing the last weeks of the church year, but also the coming of Jesus with that glorious good news of great joy for all the people that comes with our celebration of Christmas. So we put away the glory in excelsis until we hear it from the angels. And last Sunday we heard about being ready for our Lord's final return, that no one knows the day nor the hour. But today the epistle then tells us that the hour has come to wake from sleep. Salvation is nearer than when we first believed that Christ comes. The night is gone, the day is at hand. So put away the works of darkness, cast them off. Those sins which get in between you and the coming of Christ. Those sins which make you foolish, unwise, the sins that are the works of darkness, you are, by God's word, to cast them off. That is a life of repentance. That is sorrow over sin, faith in Christ, and turning away from that sin. As the new year then grows out of the old, repentance, as always, is the first order for each and every day and for each and every new year. The Old Testament lesson today speaks of Jesus. It's one of the prophecies of Christ and what he would be and who he is and what he will do, that he is referred to as a righteous branch that shoots up. But here the imagery is not just of some branch growing off of the trunk of a tree, but that he is essentially a new trunk that is growing out of the roots. A true chunk to replace the one that had died and been lost. And that he comes into this world of darkness, a world that knows nothing about lasting life. A dying world. A world full of death. That there is one beautiful point about Advent as it falls in our normal calendar year, is that the church celebrates this new life of Advent, of repentance and faith, just as we get ready and for the joy to come at Christmas, while the world and nature itself is a season of dying, with fall moving into winter. But the kingdom of God is not like the kingdoms of this world. And that you, Christians, as you are repeatedly told, need to take note of this. That Jeremiah prophesied about what Christ would bring with him, and it's in direct contrast to what the world has brought. That he brings life instead of death. He brings wisdom instead of foolishness. He brings true justice in the face of injustice. He brings holiness in the place of sinfulness. He brings right thinking and right norms, the things that rule over our lives and conduct, instead of the world's twisted, perverse ways. That he brings eternity instead of this world's grinding down into nothing while preparing you are, or pretending that you are gaining in progress. You see, that Old Testament lesson speaks of Jesus as being the reversal, the salvation, the deliverance for the mess that is this world. And it's true that he is the start of what is called the new Israel, the church, that Jesus is spoken of as ruling as a king who has a kingdom which is not of this world, a kingdom where he rules in righteousness. Whereas Jeremiah tells us he will deal wisely. That in that phrase, dealing wisely, there's a sense that Jesus is then full of understanding and wisdom, with a perfect intellect that is unaffected by sin. Being able to judge all situations perfectly, rightly. And even more for us as we exist in this cold and dying world, even more than the simple phrase, deal wisely, implies that not only does Jesus know the ways and the plans of the enemies of God, and thus your enemies, but he knows how to upend all of them and to utterly defeat them. That this is the kind of king Jesus is. This is the kind of king you have. This is the king who is coming on the last day. This is he whose birth we will celebrate in under a month. And that Old Testament lesson, Jeremiah, continues on that Jesus will execute justice and righteousness in the land. No more will there be favoritism and horrible treatment of others for personal gain and situations. No more will we be subject to the whims of horrible rulers and foolish people in power. That no, Jesus brings justice. That he will make all things right. That as we are taught and as we are taught to handle our own anger and so forth by remaining reminded that vengeance is his, well, Christ's coming brings that. That he will also then execute not only justice, but righteousness. Because he is the righteous branch. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Not only in who he is as true God, righteous and holy in and of himself, but also as true man, as our Savior. Righteous and having salvation is he, earning that righteousness that we needed so that we could live under him in his kingdom forever. Then Jeremiah tells us that Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. Here again we are taught by Scripture itself that we must remember who the true Israel is. Who are the true descendants of Abraham? Who is Zion or the Jerusalem for above? That if you read into the New Testament, you find out the New Testament and the Holy Spirit with it tells us that the Jerusalem above, Zion, Israel, and so forth, it is the church. It is those who put their trust in Jesus. And here we have a proof of this. The proof of what this is, what Jeremiah tells us, is that the nation of Israel has actually never dwelt securely since Jeremiah spoke these words. That if you want to read this text with only earthly things in your mind, you'll find it hasn't happened. And thus Christ, the righteous branch that Jeremiah prophesied, is it him? But you must remember that when the Old Testament prophesies about Israel, this is what the New Testament teaches us, it is speaking about the church, not a modern nation state in politics. But here you must hear what Jeremiah says, that because of the righteous branch, this king who will deal wisely, the church will be saved. The church will dwell securely. And what this means, even now, because of Jesus, our ascended king, the king who is coming and is coming even now, that the church has dwells securely. That means the church has a freedom from fear and danger and want. That this is because Christ reigns righteously forever and we are already in his kingdom. That with him, the Lamb of God who was slain and yet lives, who has ascended to the right hand of the Father, who will come at the last day, we need not be driven around like by fear like the world is. Whether it's fear of death or fear of dangers or fear of not having enough. That no, Christ is our coming King. And in him we have life and resurrection. We have eternal safety. We have a God who graciously and abundantly gives us everything we need, richly, daily, starting with his own righteousness, right down to the clothes on your back, the food in your stomachs, the air in your lungs, and all the things we need to properly be that we were properly reminded of last Wednesday night. All that we need to support this body in life. But then all that we need to support eternal life as well. All of this is very nice to ponder as we ponder Christ's imminent return. But it also has effect in your daily life even now. Today, you already have Christ as your King. That means that everything we can expect of Him, we also already possess of Him. That this is the joy of Advent, our Advent. And it makes our Advent preparations so good that Christ has come and Christ is coming on the last day, but He has not left us as orphans. That He still comes to us today. That His wisdom is already ours. That He deals with us wisely as our Savior. That His Word bestows upon us that wisdom as the Spirit teaches us. He gives us proper understanding of the things going on around us. He gives us proper judgment to see. It provides for us the right norms in our lives for how we ought to think and live and conduct ourselves towards others. That helps us now as we consider our lives in repentance and faith. That He corrects all of that bad stuff within us, that we might think rightly and examine ourselves rightly. And as His Word comes to us even in the here and now, and He by His Word, so also then the wondrous sacraments that have their foundation, their institution, their power, and their promises in that same Word. That Jesus has baptized you. And there His righteousness covers you. You have cast off darkness and you have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, as the epistle described it. That's baptism language. That there in that water with the Word, you were given the Holy Spirit and a new life, a lived not to gratify the flesh and its sinful desires, but a new life, filled with the life that God has set before you. That Jesus also then comes to you in His Word of absolution, the forgiveness of your sins, that here you find the power of His Word, the same Word that created the light, that ordered the days, the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, and all of mankind, and everything else in it, that same powerful Word that said, let there be, and there was, that Word now speaks forgiveness to you. And by it, the debt of your sin is gone. Forgiven, paid off. Because of Christ. That your King comes even now, and He is named, as Jeremiah said, the Lord is our righteousness. That He comes to us with a feast that foreshadows the feast that is yet to come in His supper. That here He blesses you with forgiveness of sins, and yet also He works to strengthen your trust in Him. And grow your love for each other. That Christ comes now. And by His coming now, He already executes and establishes justice and righteousness for you. And He gives you that very justice and that very righteousness. That justice itself has been met in His own crucifixion and death. That your justice was satisfied there. Because what you deserved out of justice, He took. And then He handed you the only righteousness that will ever matter, both now and forever, His own righteousness. And that you have been promised a land coming that you will dwell in, and even now you dwell in it securely, a place where He has gone to prepare for you, a place that He is coming back from to take you back to. And with all of that in mind, as Advent comes, knowing that he has come in the past, he still comes to us now in his grace and mercy today, we do prepare for his coming in glory. That in our day-to-day lives, we are to walk as those whose salvation is growing closer each day. That Advent reminds us of the life that we have been given by God, daily dying to sin and rising again to newness of life. That the works of darkness are to be cast off. The desires of the flesh are not to be catered to, not to be gratified. But this is the discipline and the self-control of Advent. That we just feasted as a nation, now we fast as the church, to feast at the greatest feast of all, the nativity of our Lord. That you are to look to your walking, to live in repentance and faith, putting away, casting off your flesh, the darkness of this world, and to not pay any attention to them. But you are instead to put on Christ, the King of Kings, who is unlike any other king, for he is humble and he has a righteousness of his own, a wisdom that is divine, justice and true lasting victory. The crowd cried out, "Hosanna," as a cry for salvation. "Save us, O God." They knew exactly who Jesus was. And they confessed it with their cries. He was their Savior. He was their deliverer, the Son of David who rules on an eternal throne. And yes, later that week he earned that salvation through his suffering and his death, and yet he still, by his resurrection, lives and reigns for all eternity. So as the Holy Spirit through St. Paul said it, the hour has come to wake from sleep. That you are members of the kingdom of God with a king that is unlike any other king, Christ Jesus, your Lord. That Advent is upon you. Repentance for many sins and then following with trust in Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. Christ who is the Son of David and the Savior of the world and is, of course, then your King and your Savior. That you are to live in self-control over the flesh, refusing to gratify its desires, its temptations. You are to fasting, to organize your life and teach that same flesh who's actually important, who's the boss. You are to walk in the light of day as the day of your salvation comes near, remembering the salvation that he has achieved. It is full and finally done already. Good Friday was security for that. Easter is the proclamation of his finished work. But then receiving that salvation and receiving his coming to you now through the word and the sacrament. But also strengthened by that, looking forward with joyful hope, with eagerness and preparation, looking forward to his coming again, even as we with great anticipation await the festival of his birth. Christ has come. He is still coming now. And he's coming at the last day. Because you are in his kingdom already, these are good things. Things in which we hope. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.